Thanks so much, Greg and team. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome today to our first service. Faith really works. I mean, it really works. And that is the theme. If you had to put a little theme statement to the little book in the Bible called James, that would be it. That faith really works. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be walking through this little five-chapter book that talks about how faith in Jesus impacts your life, influences your life in the real world. And today's passage, as we get started, James, this is the most practical book in the entire New Testament, and he hits the ground running, and today, just right out of the chute, talks to us about something that we all face, talks to us about trouble. Everybody in this room has faced or is facing trouble, and faith really works even when trouble comes your way. Okay, well, let's get right into it, and we'll sort of walk through this section of Scripture in our teaching time today, and we're moving to a target. And the target to which we're moving this morning is the crown jewel of all character traits. The crown jewel of all character traits is endurance. And we're getting there. Okay? We're not there yet. We'll get there. Okay, here we go. We get started. This letter is from James, a slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just stop there for a moment. Yeah, they're like, you know, you read through the Bible, there are like five Jameses in the New Testament. This guy, this James, is the half-brother of Jesus. Okay? And when James, you know, started out in his world, he's like a lot of you. He wasn't a believer in Jesus. I mean, he grew up with Jesus, but he wasn't a believer in the divinity of Jesus. But at some point, probably after his resurrection, this James became a believer that Jesus was, hey, this brother of mine, he is who he claims to be. And so this James even becomes a great leader in the early church, so much so that there's one passage of Scripture that says he's one of the pillars, one of the great pillars of the early church. But it's interesting to me that in this book that he writes, he doesn't say, I'm James and I'm the half-brother of Jesus. He says, just count me, just put me in the group with all the people who are under the voluntary control and direction of Jesus. That's my claim. I'm just voluntarily under the control and direction of Jesus, and so I'm a slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. In other words, I'm writing to a lot of people think, and I personally think, that this is the very first book of the New Testament written. This is the very first one. And so he's writing at a time when, at this point, almost all the Christians are Jewish. and they have been scattered. They have been dispersed because of great persecution. So they know what it's like to face troubles. And so, now, here's what he says now, verse 2. Like I say, I mean, he just hits the ground running. Here you go. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, we got to stop right there because a lot of you, you read that statement and you think, this guy's nuts. He's just nuts. And you know, almost every year, I'll be talking to somebody and they'll say to me, you know, Ronnie, I've been doing a daily Bible reading and I'm in this little book called James, and he says something like, you know, when troubles come your way, you need to be happy about it. I got to tell you, I just lost my job. I'm not happy about that. My mom is dealing with some serious health issues. I'm not happy about that. I've got a brother or a brother-in-law who's dealing with some stuff. I'm not just giddy over that. Our family is going through a season right now. I've got a teenager making some goofy decisions. I've got, you know, and this person, they'll just say, I'm in a season of difficulty. I'm in a season of trouble. I'm not happy about that. And for, this is not some academic discussion this morning. Some of you right now are in the middle of one of the most challenging seasons of your life. And when the Bible says this is an opportunity for joy, it doesn't mean this is an opportunity to be glad, not to welcome pain, but it is an opportunity for you to learn something about yourself and for you to learn something about God and for you to develop in a way personally and spiritually that you would not develop if your life was just completely wrinkle-free. Wrinkle-free lives do not stretch your faith or grow your faith. And so James says, when troubles come, and they inevitably will, consider this an opportunity for great joy, that God can even use this difficult, troubling season for something beneficial. Verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, I got to tell you that you do know that your faith's going to be tested. You do know that you're going to go through times when it's hard to believe. And when there will be little voices in your head saying, you really shouldn't believe. I don't quite know how to say this. Let me just kind of say it as in a straightforward way as I possibly can. I think most people that I know, I think most of you, you are a far stronger and far better Christian than what you give yourself credit for. A lot of people think they're not a very good Christian because they go through times where they have to fight to believe and fight to be faithful. Yeah, your faith's going to be tested. That doesn't mean you're a sour Christian or a weak Christian. That means actually you're a person who endures and perseveres. And so you know that when your faith is tested, your, here's the key word, your endurance, it has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Let what grow? Let your endurance grow. For when your endurance, here's the third time he mentions it, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Let me put the first statement up here on the screen, and that is that endurance leverages everything. Endurance leverages everything in your life as a believer. And even if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, you're not really a believer, endurance still leverages everything in your life when it comes to your business, when it comes to your marriage. It is, the endurance is the crown jewel of all character traits. And until you develop endurance, you will never develop the other virtues in your character simply because you'll give up too easily. But when you have endurance in your life, it works for you in all areas. You need endurance in your marriage, or you're going to give up too easily. You need endurance in your business, or you're going to give up too easily. You need endurance when it comes to building a church, or you're going to give up too easily. You need endurance as a volunteer, or you're going to give up way too easily. And all of these little barriers you come to, they're just going to be little paper walls that you could push through. But a person without endurance will come up to that wall. It's just a paper wall, but they'll say, oh, it's concrete, and I might as well just quit. Endurance is the crown jewel of all character traits. With endurance, you will continually move forward. You will even fail forward. You will have a time of failure, but you won't be defeated. You'll learn from it, and you will press on. If I had to put a synonym to the word endurance, you know, a lot of people, and some Bible translations will use the word patience here, but in our culture, patience is not an accurate translation. It's not an accurate synonym. We think of patience as passive resignation. I'll just be patient and wait. That's not what it means. Endurance is somebody who's tough. It's the courageous refusal to quit on God. It's the courageous refusal to quit on God's will. And until you develop endurance, your development as a human and your development as a believer will be stunted. This morning we honored and recognized Kelly and Julie and their family. They fulfilled their mission. They went to Santiago with a mission and they fulfilled it. I'm sure there were so many times over the last, 10 plus, 11 plus years where they come up to a barrier and it's like, uh-oh. But you press on. You learn from it. I'm not saying you stay in stupid situations. You stay in sinful situations or dangerous situations. But you don't let paper walls overwhelm you. You develop endurance. The courageous refusal to quit on God. The courageous refusal to quit on God's will. Have you seen the Rocky movies? You know, Rocky Part 1, Rocky Part 2, Rocky Part 34, Rocky Part, all those. Man, I got to tell you, I'm a Rocky movie fan. And I love those scenes, whether he's fighting Apollo Creed or Clubber Lane or that Russian dude or whoever it is, one of the early movies. Remember that when he's fighting Clubber Lane? Clubber Lane says, "You're going down." And Rocky looks him right in the eye and says, "Go for it." Why did the Rocky movies inspire? Because they're all about endurance. He wasn't the biggest, wasn't the fastest, wasn't the quickest. He just simply refused to quit. During the early days of World War II, Winston Churchill led Great Britain. And during the Battle of Britain, when Great Britain was being bombed mercilessly by Nazi Germany, Winston Churchill inspired a nation. Because he said, no matter what comes, we will not wave the white flag of surrender. In one of his speeches, he said these words. He said, "We will fight on the seas and we will fight in the oceans. We will fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and we shall fight in the streets. We shall fight in the hills and we will never, ever surrender." Can you see the power of endurance? Do you know that you have an enemy who's trying to get you to give up on God's will for your life? Do you realize you have an enemy who wants you to give up on God? Who wants you to just take the low road and the path of least resistance and just basically... Do you know that? And that God wants you to develop the kind of enduring spirit that says, you go for it. You bring your best shot. I will be a lifelong, enthusiastic disciple of Jesus Christ. So how do you get this endurance? Can you just run down to the pharmacy? Can you buy it online? No. No. How do you get it? How do you get this crown jewel of character traits? This crown jewel of character traits that leverages everything in your life? You get it as you face difficult situations and you press through. And you press through and you develop some spiritual muscle. Okay, here's what James has to say. Let's quickly highlight a few points and then we'll underscore this character trait again. Number one, he says, trouble is simply inevitable for both unbelievers and believers. He says, when troubles come your way. Notice he doesn't say if troubles come your way. He says, when they come your way. You may pray three times a day, but you do not live under a protective bubble, and when troubles come your way, trouble is inevitable. Secondly, trouble is often undeserved. It's often undeserved. Now, there is a kind of deserved trouble. Has anyone in this room, besides me, ever done anything stupid and sinful that complicated your life? Anybody here ever done anything stupid or sinful that complicated your life besides me? You ever done? Okay. And the rest of you are lying. So, and so often trouble is deserved. I mean, I did something that just complicated my life. But sometimes trouble comes your way and it's undeserved. I mean, it's not like you did something to complicate. Your nose is clean. You're walking with the... But it comes your way. Thirdly, trouble comes in many forms. It may be a job thing, a money thing, a marriage thing. And it doesn't mean that God brought it. And let me be very clear. It doesn't mean that, okay, God's bringing this to you to teach you a lesson. No, God may not have brought it at all. But in this thing, God can meet you and help you, but God may not have brought it. Number four, trouble will flat out test your faith. James says, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, it's going to hit you and you're going to look heavenward and you're going to say, hey God, I thought you were good. Why is the bottom falling out of my life right now? Is there something wrong with you? Is there something wrong with me? I want you to fast forward to Thanksgiving, or just hit the rewind button to this past Thanksgiving. And, you know, during Thanksgiving season, one of the things we'll often do here is we'll talk to little children about, you know, why are you thankful? Why do you love God? And they'll say some great things, and they'll say, you know, I love God because, and even as adults, we'll say, you know, I love God because, and we've got all these little props of why I love God. Now, I'm not bad-mouthing that at all. In fact, the Bible says that every good gift comes from God. I love God because, you know, my mommy and daddy love me. I love God and I've got another because I got another problem. I love God because I've got a good job. I love God because I like our house, and I got another problem. I love God because I'm healthy. And I got all these little becauses, all these little props propping up my faith. But you do realize, don't you, that you're going to face a season where those becauses get knocked away. That good job's not there, or that health fades, or mommy and daddy aren't around. And you start losing all those props, all those becauses. And am I the kind of person who looks at God and says, hey, what have you done for me lately? Or am I the kind of person who looks at God and says, fundamentally, what have you done for me in Jesus Christ? And if all the other little becauses get knocked away, and they're good gifts from you, and I appreciate it, but if I have nothing to hold on to except the fact that my soul is saved because of your grace... Am I a God, what have you done for me lately kind of person, or am I a God, what have you done for me in Jesus kind of person? Troubles will flat out test your faith. And number five, trouble invites God's unique activity into your life. But God will not mature you without your consent. James says it like this. He says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance, notice he says, it has a chance to grow. It's not automatic. I mean, let's just put it out here on the table. For some people, their faith gets tested and they get weaker. They give up. They take the low road. They give up on God. They get mad at the church. They get mad at you. They're mad at God. They're just, their faith gets tested and it's just, it's low road city. But when your faith is tested, it has a chance to grow. And trouble invites God's unique activity into your life. And so rather than asking, oh God, why? I can ask God, how can I grow through this? What can I learn through this? I remember the Air Florida plane crash in the early 1980s. Some of you may recall that. It happened in January, I think, of 1982, Air Florida Flight 90. Washington, D.C. was under the kind of weather that they've been under recently, an incredible snowstorm. And it had been very cold in recent days. The Potomac River was iced over. And Air Florida Flight 90, it was a Boeing 737. It was in icing conditions. The pilots did not do a good job of making sure their plane had been de-iced. And so when they took off and the flight controls were simply compromised. And so this plane takes off, doesn't gain altitude at all, and stalls and crashes through a bridge. I think it was the 14th Street Bridge, and then just goes right into the icy Potomac River. And the only thing that stayed afloat was the tail section of the plane. Only a handful of people survived. One crew person survived. Her name was Kelly Moore. At the time, she was 22 years old. And the National Transportation Safety Board even recognized and honored her afterwards because they said that there was only one flotation device available, and in these icy waters, she took that one flotation device, she inflated it, and she gave it to somebody else. And all the people who survived, obviously they're in shock, some are injured, they thought that they wouldn't survive. Here they are, they're out in the middle of this river, and people are watching. 20 minutes later, A helicopter hovered over and rescued them one by one. Some of you remember this. I remember it vividly. Kelly Duncan Moore is now 50 years old. She's married. She has three children. She went back to work as a flight attendant for a couple of years, but something wasn't quite right in her life, and she knew it. She said before that accident, she was not even really a believer, wasn't even a person of prayer. And a couple of years later, she fueled her faith, became a believer, went back and got a graduate degree in early childhood education, became a school teacher because she wanted to invest in children, and then she became a children's minister in a Baptist church in Miami, Florida. A couple of years ago, she was interviewed by CNN, and she said these words. She said, "I feel like every day of my life has been a blessing and I have a wonderful life, and it sounds crazy to say it, but that accident changed my life for good. God used a bad thing to turn my life around." Trouble invite, we can invite God's unique activity. God does not abandon you in the midst of your trouble. He will meet you there, and He might even help you turn your trouble into something that equips you to serve a whole new group of people in a whole new way. Last of all, trouble handled well will give you some serious staying power, some serious endurance. James says, so let it grow. Let your endurance grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And here's what I want to ask you to do this morning. Would you be willing to look at your troubles through a different lens? It's okay to go through a season of trouble and say, oh God, you know, remove this from me. Take this thorn away from me. Get me out of this. It's okay to pray that prayer. That's human nature. We're invited to do that. But in addition to that prayer, would you say, God, if this situation doesn't change, would you help me to learn from it? Would you help me to grow through it so that I will be stronger and more effective for you in this world? One of the members of our church is a gentleman by the name of Michael Biasini. Michael was born with multiple physical deformities. And although his parents, when Michael was born, they didn't even show him to his parents. And his parents were even given forms to sign to, quote unquote, give him up for science. But Michael's parents had other plans for him. Now, by the time Michael was in the third grade, he had had 16 operations. He was ridiculed by other children because of his physical appearance. But Michael learned through all of that. He learned that crown jewel of character traits. He learned endurance, and it has served him well. His story has been featured in a number of magazine articles. His story has even been featured in one of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. Michael credits his late mother for instilling in him a sense of worth, a sense of faith, and a determination to never give up. When other children would call him names, she taught him, she said, Michael, don't let those names bother you. You just have compassion for those children because they've not been brought up right. Now, Michael he's also experienced a lot of success in his life. He's known success as a salesman. He's known success in management. He's known success as a banking officer. But his father often told him, said, Michael, you would be fantastic at working with children who have special needs. And a few years ago, Michael went back, pursued a master's degree in education. And today, he is serving right here in Fort Bend School District. He was born in 1963, 29 surgeries later, he is still making a difference for Jesus. I want you to hear his story in his own words. Pay attention, please.
Back in May of 1963, I was born. But I was born with multiple deformities. I had eyes on the sides of my head, has holes where a nose was supposed to be. I had a cleft lip, cleft palate. I had missing fingers. I had one leg short of the other, and even a cleft foot. I was born with so many deformities that the doctors refused to show my parents what I looked like. Many people, including the doctors, didn't even think I was going to survive that day. As a matter of fact, my parents were given papers to give me up for science. Now, can you imagine being those parents? See, my parents had faith that day. They believed in me. They believed that this child had a purpose in life. Oh, they knew it was going to be a long road ahead. But they trust in the Lord. Now, I was very lucky. You see, my parents accepted me for who I was, and they put me in school as early as possible. I was put in special ed. I was put in special ed because of the way I looked. And actually, many kids made fun of me. They called me ugly, stupid, and even retarded. Many people thought I couldn't even learn. I spent many days in those special ed classes. As a matter of fact, I was put in some of those back of the rooms until one day a teacher saw something in me. They saw hope that I could do something. I could be a productive member of society. That teacher in the third grade put me in a general ed class. And I was so grateful for that day. Many doctors told me I could not do many things. They said I could not walk. They said I could not run. They said I couldn't even have any children. But yet, I learned how to walk. I even learned how to run. As a matter of fact, I even learned how to ride a bicycle. And I'm the type of person that I rode a bicycle from Dallas, Texas to Augusta, Maine. That's 2,700 miles. One of the things my wife and I always refer back to is we always refer back to a verse in the Bible, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, that verse means a lot to me because with knowing God, knowing that He gave me the strength to do the things I can do, I had a gift. I had a calling. God called on me to be a special ed teacher. When I go into the classrooms today, I see things that many people don't see in special ed. I see that each and every one of those kids has a gift to be a productive member of society. Now I look at life and I look at my faith, and faith has brought me together with these families in this community to give back. I trust in the Lord in everything that we do, and I look at life each and every day, and I always remember that motto that my mom gave me is to never give up. My name is Michael Biasini, and I know that faith works.
Is Michael in this service? Okay. When you see him, you affirm him and encourage him. For all of us, trouble handled well gives you some incredible staying power because God values your faith so much that He will even meet you in difficult days and help you develop endurance. It is the crown jewel of all Christian character traits. Would you please take your order of worship and look at your communication cards? And if you've not done so already, please fill that out. And if you have a prayer request, please take a moment and write down a prayer request that you would like our church leaders to pray over this week. If you want to communicate with us about a desire to talk with someone about membership here or about baptism or any particular need at all, if you want some more information about our church family, you can indicate such on that communication card. And then once you finish, just pass it to the ends of your aisle, and they will be collected here in just a moment. What I'd like to do now is I'd like to pray over you, and if you need, if during this prayer, if you need to take a little more time to fill out those cards, do so, and then they'll be collected. Let's bow and pray, please. Father God, we are very conscious of the fact that some folks in this room have gone through various and serious difficulties, and it's a natural for us to struggle through those. But Lord, you want us to see those troubles not as a cul-de-sac, but as an open avenue leading us upward. And Lord, we know that for Christians, life never ends in defeat. A resurrection always follows a crucifixion. And there is no way so hard but that you will not give us strength to walk in safer and gentler places. And your hand will lead us through, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. So, Lord, anybody who's here today who's going through a particular season of difficulty, let this word from Scripture come today with power upon that person. It is not the end. It is something they are going through. And whatever our level of trial, whatever the test, we need your strength, and we do count it as an opportunity for our faith to grow and for your character to be developed in us. We thank you for that. We thank you for meeting us even in dark days.